Welcome everyone. It's time to begin. I know that some of you are still coming into the room, but I don't want to keep you too long, so I'll begin right now. Good afternoon. My name is Rafał Lukawiecki. I don't work for Microsoft. I have never worked for Microsoft, but I have worked with Microsoft for the last 17 years. And for the past about 7 or 8 of those 17 years, I had the pleasure of specializing in business intelligence. In particular, the one area of business intelligence that I do the most, that's really my highest area of specialty, is data mining. But you will be probably all pleased to hear that this presentation is not just about data mining. We'll be talking about the broader BI. And in fact, we'll be talking about the probably most fun aspect of business intelligence, the bits that make it attractive to our users. Just before I begin the session, I want to point out a couple of things. My email address is on the slide for you. Also, the session Twitter hashtag is #SPC012, and I am following it here. So in case you want to ask a question that needs to be answered during or immediately after the session, I will answer questions via Twitter in addition to doing it the traditional way. However, if you have a lot more questions, by all means get in touch with me a little later. I'll be pleased to answer those later. Okay, so where would I like to begin? I think I would like to begin by pointing out that it's kind of amazing to be doing all of this analytical business intelligence work here in Las Vegas, a city that's kind of built on analytics, and it proves that most people don't do analytics very well when they come over here, which is why I thought it was very funny when we're doing business intelligence here. But, you know, we also have to have fun. But as part of having fun, I want to point out to you that this is also a place where you are going to learn about inspiring other people in a fun way, in an entertaining way, how to benefit from business intelligence more. I strongly believe that what makes BI good is not just it being correct, not just being factually right, but also attractive enough to the point that users want to immerse themselves in that new world of information that you are handing to them. So that's my key objective for this session, is really to inspire you how to visualize information to your users and therefore to give more legs to your business intelligence. And in doing so, I will also showcase Microsoft's business intelligence technologies. Okay. That's another thing I wanted to share with you. Isn't this an amazing place? I took this picture yesterday from my window, and I kind of thought, you know, there's no other place on the planet just like that. It's pretty stunning. I'm also very, very pleased to point out that within the vicinity of this region, there are lots of other wonderful, beautiful things to photograph. And in case you would like a little bit of inspiration for the soul rather than inspiration for the mind, I welcome you to visit my personal website, if you can barely see the address at the bottom of the screen. But since that is very unprofessional of me to do, let me immediately do the professional thing and introduce you to our company's website, projectbotticelli.com. I would be delighted if you wanted to register on it. And registration is free if you want, for example, to get access to PowerPoint presentations, articles, and other stuff we've got over there. My PowerPoint from today and the PowerPoints from my yesterday's pre-conference seminar on business intelligence will be on the website later this evening. So if you register and you go over there this evening, you will be able to get the PowerPoints. However, we also have something that we sell on the website. We sell access to online training videos, primarily in business intelligence. If you want to learn Microsoft's wonderful new innovations in data analysis expressions with Marco Russo or Alberto Ferrari, or if you would like to learn MDX with Chris Webb, or if you would like to learn data mining with myself, access to those things costs about $39 for 1 month of watching, and we are offering discounts, so coupon codes. I was told when I'm coming to the United States, I have to have coupon codes. Apparently, this is thank you. This is the place where they are more popular than anywhere else on the planet, so they're very easy to remember. 20 SPC 12 and 20 SPC and 10 SPC 12, but they are valid only until the end of the week. So you have to make use of them straight away. All right, enough plugging of my company. I won't be doing much more of that. Rather than that, I would like to start talking about the things that brought you to this room. And that is primarily this new world of data that Microsoft is talking about and everybody else too. Because the world of data is changing around us. We are immersed in an explosive growth of the quantities of data. It is forecast by IDC that by the end of the decade, there will be 42 times the amount of data that we started with. Apparently, every 5 years, there is a tenfold increase in the amount of data. But also, it's the variety of data. It's not just that databases get bigger. We could cope with that. It's the fact that there are so many new types of information that everybody wants to integrate and mash up and do stuff with. 85% of new data comes from new types that we haven't worked with before. What does it mean to all of you? What it means to all of you, I hope, is what it means to me, that the main purpose of business intelligence is to help users make those better business decisions by helping them focus. Focus by visualizing only the things that are important to them in the context of what they are doing. Removing this clutter of information and focusing in this exploding world of data just on the things that can make your colleagues and yourselves and your bosses more successful, both at work but also in personal life. This new world of data and BI applies to our private lives too. You are on social networks. And there is a lot of data over there that you are not utilizing yet. Perhaps as a BI professional, this is one approach at finding a better relationship in your life. I know, put some scorecards for prospective candidates and do a little benchmarking before you go and have a wedding. Okay, maybe that was a little far-fetched, but unfortunately, I'm sure it will happen sometime in the future. However, in the meantime, there are much more prosaic examples where BI can help you not just in business, but also in personal life, like shopping for things, comparing articles, and so on. So how can we help users focus on what is important so that they don't drown in this mountain of data that is exploding around them? I believe that the answer to that is to provide users with powerful BI. And what makes powerful BI is those six attributes, or three attributes and three techniques for them that I want to call out. Number one for me is correct information, then in the right context, and finally in an attractive format. Yes, it has to be right, it has to be right where it is used, and it has to be attractive because otherwise people will not want to look at it again. And how do you get there? Focus, filter, and simplify. That's all. Good BI, focus on what matters, filter out everything else, and simplify. The best dashboards are the ones that have the fewest items on them. The best KPIs are the ones people understand intuitively, without having to think, what does this number mean? The best user interfaces are the ones that have nothing except the one thing the user needs to use in the context. I always believe that the best user interfaces will be the ones that have just one button, the one that is exactly the one that the user wants to click. But we'll have to work on that for a little while. So Microsoft and this new world of data means three approaches that they are trying to develop, that they are working on, and they have been working on for the last almost 10 years. Number one, helping users immerse themselves with insightful and attractive information that helps them be more productive. Number two, enabling users to connect to whatever data they want to connect to, not just traditional data. And finally, the newest, I guess, kid on the block is being able to deal not just with traditional data, but also this big data, any data, in fact, of any size and anywhere. I work with big data, and I realize that most of the time, big data is not big in the number, it's just big in complexity. Big data is any data that is too complex for us to process today using traditional means. So data which is very unstructured could be small but big. Data that is big could be very small, but it can come fast to you. And from Microsoft's perspective, all of those three directions are wrapped into three of their fundamental technologies: Office, SharePoint, and SQL Server. Office and SharePoint are the ones that deal with the most important user part of it. They are the ones that help you focus, they are the ones that help you filter, they are the ones that help you simplify. Whilst SQL Server does all of the grunt of this hard work of connecting to the data, summarizing it, aggregating it, preparing it, mining it, doing all sorts of analytical things to it, and doing it on small as well as big data. So if somebody asks me ever, what is Microsoft BI platform, I don't think about it twice. The answer is it's Office, SharePoint, and SQL Server. Okay, so what is attractive on this platform that I'm going to be showing you in the demos that are coming very shortly? Well, I'm sure you will see PowerView many times this week, and I will show it to you too. Power Pivot Galleries, Performance Point Dashboards and Scorecards for more enterprise grade of dashboarding, I suppose. Mapping in PowerView, which is completely new. Using Excel for reporting. Let me stop on this one for a second. I'm a big believer that in the future, Excel will be the main tool for all enterprise reporting. Excel is so interactive. It makes sense to have interactive reports. It makes sense to use Excel as the main tool for reporting. We are maybe not quite there yet for all organizations, but we'll be there soon. SQL Server reporting services, still very useful if you want to deliver 50,000 reports quickly in the morning to everybody in your organization and performance matters to you. And of course, beautiful visualizations of correlations hiding in your data using data mining add-ins for Excel and SQL Server. Those are the technologies I want to talk about and I want to show you. So, today's heroes are Office 2013. Whenever you are looking at all of the subsequent presentations, demonstrations, you probably will never manage to see BI without Office. Office is always the somehow. In the middle, SharePoint Server. This is the one that enables collaboration and manageability of business intelligence, as well as helps you with audit, compliance, security. And on the back end, we've got SQL Server 2012 Service Pack 1, which will be doing the crunching and the data processing. Notice the versions. All of my demos are built on these versions of products. Microsoft have just released them a few days ago, so everything is a little bit raw and a little bit new. But fingers crossed, hopefully the demos will work as long as we have connectivity. So, between now and the end of the session, I have only demos. I have 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. I've got 6, 7, or 8 demos. What does that mean? Well, I've got 8, but I don't know if I'm going to have time to them all, because sometimes I get too excited halfway, so we'll see what happens. But yeah, we should fit them. All righty, first one. What will you see in the first one? Office, SharePoint, and SQL Server. Why? Well, because that's the Microsoft Business Intelligence Platform. And the main toy that you will see here will be PowerView. But I'm going to show you PowerView once more. This time, I'll show it very quickly, just to give you an idea of what's possible. Then we'll come back to it a little later. So imagine for a minute that you belong to what I understand in America is called the other 1%. Imagine that you are a board member of some very successful airline and you are about to have a meeting in the morning. So we have a PowerPoint, not too exciting, remember, black and white, this is board member stuff, no colors. And on the agenda of our meeting, we're going to have breakfast, we're going to have some coffee, we'll talk about customer satisfaction data, then we'll have lunch, dinner, maybe a party. That's the life. So we get to customer satisfaction data, and everybody says, oh, can we please go and have lunch already? Except, at this point, the old boss of the company who still knows something says, Rafael, can you go back to that previous slide? All right. I noticed something over there that doesn't make sense. What do you not understand, boss? California. All right. As you can probably see, there is a button here which says interact. I'm just going to hit this button, pray for connectivity, because all of my demos are completely live. Unfortunately, I cannot give you screenshots here. And after the connection has been established from whatever is this magical tool that I am using right now to the underlying server, we will be able not just to see the picture that you were seeing earlier, but we'll be able, of course, to interact with it. And I can interact with it, for example, by playing the timeline. And the boss says, look, California. And everybody says, oh, can you see what's the issue? Can you see what's the problem? I think it's kind of interesting. Well, what you are seeing here is the relationship between the number of delayed flights and the customer satisfaction. And almost everywhere else, as the number of delayed flights increases, people get happier, except for California. Can you see that? New York people, they don't like delays. Floridans maybe are not sure, but Californians get happier the more flights get delayed. So, of course, at this point, we can click outside and go and enjoy our well-deserved lunchtime, because the decision of the company will be to increase the delays of flights in order to increase. Well, maybe this is a good time to check the correctness of the data which was used to generate this beautiful report, but let's say that as board members, we don't need to do that. What have you just seen here? This magical tool that you have seen here is called Microsoft PowerPoint. No, not PowerView. This is PowerPoint. I've been showing you a bog-standard PowerPoint, and as you see, there are just four slides in it, three which I created manually, and a special slide over here. This one special slide that is over here was created for me by SharePoint and PowerView. What you see over here is the output from a very simple few clicks done on a SharePoint server, and I am going to show you what those clicks are. But the beautiful thing is that, well, this file, being just a normal PowerPoint file, you can take with you on a plane, hopefully not to California. You can use it without connectivity. You can show it to someone without having any access to your back-end technology. However, the minute you click on that picture in PowerPoint, that's when it comes alive. That's when it made a connection to SharePoint server and to SQL server and gave us this visualization known as the animated scatter plots, which are informally known as animated bubble charts. Okay, so that was my first brief demo, and you have seen the entire Microsoft BI platform in it. What I like about that demo is that you haven't seen too much. And that's the whole point. It's supposed to be easy. It's supposed to be simple. I know many of you are IT people. Not all, but many of you are. And IT people, I know, we like buttons and features and windows and all of that. But normal people are not like that. Okay? I'm sorry. So, what's attractive about BI from Microsoft is not just that it is visually attractive, but also that it is attractive to the mind. And the mind means being able to think about the data and do things with the data quickly and easily without having to have some tremendously complex and advanced skill sets. In the past, if you wanted to do interesting things with data, you had to be, well, a bit more like a scientist. We even have a term for them, data scientists today, and no doubt some of you are. And that's very good. being a data scientist and being able to do clever and crazy things with data is very useful to companies. But we want everybody to be able to crunch their data a little bit, because it's hard to hire a data scientist to find out a good relationship partner for you in private life, for example. Even, as I pointed out earlier, that would be a good idea. I'm sure there will be an online service available soon to do that, but in the meantime, everybody can do it using Power Pivot. So in the second demo, I want to show you just Excel 2013. At this time, I'm not showing SharePoint, and I'm not showing SQL Server. So I'm going to open for you my Contozoo XLSX file in Office Excel 2013. And what you've got over here is some typical heat map showing sales numbers. As you can see, sales numbers in different modes of sale, different channels of sale of Contozoo. And you can see over here all the different categories and subcategories of products they sell. One of the nice things that is new over here in Excel is that the heat maps work fairly well with the categorization of information. So as you collapse and open things, the heat map is now fully responsive and works correctly. In the past, if you did it with Power Pivot, that wasn't always the case. Okay, so what can I show you with this? First of all, is that all of the data for my simple analysis here sits inside Excel. And you can access all of this data by using the Power Pivot ribbon. I click on the Power Pivot title over here, and the very first button that you see on the left-hand side, called the Manage button, is the one that will give me access to all of the underlying data that I am analyzing for you. This used to be called the Power Pivot window, by the way, in the past. And the only thing that is important for you to see is that I don't have a lot of data. I've got just the dates, products, subcategories, promotions, sales, categories, and channels of sales tables. No multidimensional difficulties over here. Simple tables that people understand. But simple doesn't mean that it has to be small. In fact, I have loaded for your viewing pleasure just, that's rather big, just over 2 million rows of data. And 2 million is not big data, by the way. This is just a lot of data, which gets confused with big data. Many people have a lot of data with a big data problem, but some people have a lot of data with a big problem, which is small data. You get the idea. Anyway, going back to useful things in this presentation, 2 million rows, well, easy. Have you ever scrolled through 2 million rows? Very easy. If you've never done that before, it kind of gets boring after about 10 minutes. You can kill the boredom by teaching your colleagues a game. The first person to scroll to precisely row number 725,681 wins a prize. It's surprisingly difficult. Anyway, what can I do with all of this stuff? What can I do that is useful with this data? Well, hopefully, as little as you have to in the Power Pivot window, just get to the job of visualizing this information in ways that make sense to your user. So, for example, one of the things we might want to do with information like this is to show how it changes over the time. And Microsoft introduced in Office Excel 2013 a new very simple filter. This filter is called the timeline filter, and it's over here. Can you see I clicked on the insert ribbon? I went to the timeline, and as soon as I click the timeline, it tells me, here are the different things that I suspect look like dates. Would you please select which one you would like me to be using right now for the filtering? So I'm going to use my date key. I will just click over here, and I click OK, and the timeline filter appears somewhere over there. I'll put it maybe here. I'll stretch it a little bit. And at this point, it's showing me everything at the months level. So I'm just going, for simplicity's sake, roll it up to the years. And if you want to see the sales between a certain period, you simply slide the slider. And as soon as you have done that, you can see that the numbers are updating in the background almost instantly. And I'm doing all of this without a server. Everything is done in Excel with 2 million rows of data. I hope that is not getting lost on you, because that's power to the user that we're talking about here. And of course, everybody from the IT department is now getting worried, first of all. What will you do? Don't worry, you'll be dealing with data quality above all. And secondly, the big boss is worried what will happen if everybody's doing this analysis and we suddenly lose control over who's doing what in the company. Now, that is a serious worry. Losing control is an issue. The battle for control versus agility of business intelligence has been going on for a long time. But IT have been too much in power for too long. So it's time to give users something that will make them more agile. So what will you do to catch back all of this loss of control? Well, risk management. And I don't have slides for it, and I will not demo it, but make sure you go to a presentation, if this is important to you, make sure you go to a presentation at this conference to learn about the new Office server that helps you classify all of the files, Access files, Excel files, that may be spread around your network, email systems, and so on, in order to help you manage the risk of user-created BI. We call user-created BI end-user computing, EUC. You will see this term, EUC, EUC, user end-user computing. Microsoft bought a company about 2 years ago called Prodiance, and this is their first Microsoft version of a risk management tool, which is part of Office. Part of it actually is installed in Excel. The Inquire tab that you see over here is the bit that looks into the spreadsheet and tells you what is sitting inside it. The other part you install on the server, that's for you IT people, so you will have something to do after all. And it has a watchdog, which looks at every email, at every file, at every website, at the SharePoint server libraries. And every time it finds something that's risky, it can help you by not just knowing instead, but also by knowing what level of risk is associated with your documents. Anyway, learn about that, because this is important to get back some of the control. But in the meantime, we will forget about that, and then we will enjoy the agility story for the rest of the presentation, because it's more fun. I'm sure you'll agree. All right, so the timeline slicer, pretty attractive. And in case you haven't been, this is when connectivity disappears. Let's just restore my connectivity. Phew, that was good. People, stop tweeting too much. I'll give it a few minutes. Worst case scenario, I'll just have to, oh, that's nice, my company's website. Anyway, that wasn't on purpose. Okay. The other thing that I wanted to show you is a thing that already existed in the previous version of Excel, but it is important and it is attractive, so make sure you use it. Immediately next to the timeline slicers, the timeline filters, there are the traditional slicers, and make sure you use those. Those slicers allow your users to filter information by whatever matters to them at the time. So for example, I'm going to allow filtering maybe by different promotion categories. I click OK, and, well, not many categories were there, only no discount and store. But as soon as you click on either of those, you can see that the data again is refreshed instantly, and the user can hopefully understand the meaning of it a little bit better. I believe that good, easy to create filters are extremely important to our end users, because most of the time we do not follow predefined hierarchies when we analyze data. We simply filter the data. We say, what if this number was without something else or with something else? Slicers help us do that. Okay, I'm going to save this file just in case anything funny were to happen a little later, and I'm going to move to my next demo and the next attractive part of business intelligence, which is Power Pivot Galleries. Power Pivot Galleries use SQL Server and SharePoint Server. For some reason, I forgot a line break over there, but I hope you can read. SharePoint Server is the technology that the users access to visualize the galleries, whilst SQL Server runs the technology behind the scenes to convert the power pivots, to convert reports, to convert other documents that you may have uploaded into nicely visualized tiles with icons. So let me show you that, and let's submit our document also to a Power Pivot gallery so that you can see what it means to the users and how attractive it is. So this is the document we've been working on a few minutes ago. I'm just going to close that, and I'm going to connect to my Power Pivot gallery. Let me open the connection. So this is SharePoint Server 2013, and this is the Power Pivot gallery. How do you get the Power Pivot gallery into SharePoint? A simple version comes with SharePoint 2013, but if you want the full-featured version, you have to install SQL Server 2012 Service Pack 1 in the SharePoint integrated mode. Or to be precise, you are installing SQL Server Analysis Services in the SharePoint integrated mode. And they are attractive. As you can see, we have nice preview of what's there. As you mouse over things, you have WYSIWYG. Sorry, I know young people don't know what WYSIWYG is. What you see is what you get. In other words, if I were to click on one of those things right now, what I will see when it is rendered in the browser is exactly what you were seeing a few minutes ago in the preview, in the tile. And how is that possible? Because it refreshes it. How often? However often you want. You can manage the refresh at the rate that suits you. Typically, you would set it to refresh on a daily or nightly basis, so those previews are always exactly what you would have expected them to be. And of course, it is fully interactive, and you can work with it exactly like we were working with it earlier in my demo with PowerPoint, where PowerPoint was the entry to that particular bubble chart. This also can be made even more attractive for even younger users in your company by switching to this very important carousel view. Let me just switch that over. And whilst it's loading, I should point out that this also works on mobile devices. So this is not just a technology over here. All right, this is the carousel, and young people can be tricked into thinking that they are doing something pleasurable whilst... thank you. Whilst, in fact, you are simply making them do some accounting or whatever it is important. All right. There is another attractive aspect of the Power Pivot gallery, the theater view. The theater view is particularly important to touchscreen users. Why? Well, I'm going to simulate it for you because I'm using a mouse, not a touchscreen. But imagine that with my finger, I click and flick. I'm not very good at that. I click and flick. Okay, that was a little bit better. You get the idea? I click and flick. So this is a way to quickly browse through all of the documents that you've got in your library, in your gallery. And of course, it makes almost no sense using it with a mouse. This is pretty much designed for surfaces and the other devices. All right. So I've shown you a gallery. I've shown you different views of this gallery. How difficult is it then to get our document that we've just built a few minutes ago into one? Well, this is very easy. You either upload a document using this button, or I could have saved it directly from Excel to the SharePoint gallery. The process is exactly the same in both cases. So let me just find my Contoso V2, and I hit OK. Well, that is not supposed to happen. Let me just see something. Let's do Contoso V3. I think it's user error. But the message was useful, wasn't it? A little bit of suspense. Helps to keep attention. This shouldn't take long. Well, I think it's going to work. I am a little surprised. I thought I was going to have a little bit of a failure over here. Okay, now, because I'm using the very attractive interface, it will take me forever to find my document. So I do apologize, but I'm going to switch to the slightly less exciting version of this interface. And I should be able to find my Contoso V3. There you go, Contoso V3. It's already here. OK, so it did work. And something went wrong first. That message was totally truthful, wasn't it? Yeah, anyway. So what can I do with it? Well, I can click on it, which is already very useful, because I can open it. But I can also do now on the server everything that I was doing earlier in Excel. And you are now thinking, well, big deal. If Excel can do it, then it should be easy to do also on the server. What's the deal? If you are an end user, you will be forgiven for thinking that way. And now, IT professionals, you know what the issue is. The issue is scalability. What happens if I've got this complicated calculation with 2 million rows of data on the server? It becomes popular, and perhaps you have thousands of users trying to slice and drill whatnot or just mesmerize themselves with the bubble chart movements. Well, that could be pretty tough for your servers, but Microsoft have an answer to this one, and the answer is that when I upload this document to SharePoint server, it is no longer Excel that is processing the number crunching. And no, it is not SharePoint server either. SharePoint server is good at what it is good for. But number crunching should be done by somebody who knows how to do that better than SharePoint, and that is SQL Server. But the beautiful thing is that for the users, they don't need to know about it. They just upload to SharePoint. So what actually happened over there is pretty interesting and pretty complicated. SharePoint server is working in tandem with SQL Server Analysis Services, which does all of the crunching in a scalable enterprise way, and it returns the numbers to SharePoint server, which makes them look pretty like Excel, and sends it back to the user. If you want to install this functionality, if you want it to work, that's when you need all three products working together. But remember, if you are not an IT professional, you can keep smiling, because all of this difficulty and complexity is hidden behind the scenes. All we see is just the nice interface that we are supposed to see. Okay, so now that you have seen this working beautifully on the server, I would like to take the Power Pivot Gallery to the next step in my demo. And in order to take it to the next step in my demo, I need to go back, in a way, to Power Pivot and Power View. In particular, we are going to be using Power View this time. We will be building a new Power View from data that somebody has already prepared for us a few minutes ago. There are many different ways to use Power View. You can use Power View without or with Excel. In this case, I'm going to build it in Excel because that's a new functionality that Microsoft shipped only recently with Excel 2013. But then I will also very briefly show you that you could also use Power View without Excel entirely on SharePoint server, because that gives you, for example, ability to work ad hoc in a meeting with data that otherwise you wouldn't have access to, but which has been shared by a user who specializes in preparing data for other users to visualize. I know I said a lot of words, so I'll try to summarize it later, but the point I'm really trying to get across is that there are many scenarios how these products will be used by you, and they suit different mentalities. There is one mentality that we see emerging rapidly. The mentality of a bona fide, not a designated, but one that wants to be data cruncher or data modeler in every company, in almost every department. If you work for a company and you have a department of about 50 people in it, I can guarantee that one person will have the skills to be the modeler, the cruncher. This is the person who will be using Power Pivot to build data models for the other 49 people to consume. And the 49 people in the company who want to consume it will consume it using Power View. And that's the particular mode of operation we are seeing becoming very popular. Someone models, someone else visualizes or explores. So let me show you that. And first of all, I'm going to show you that in Excel, and then I'm going to show you this mode of operation with SharePoint and with Power Pivot and Power View working hand in hand through SharePoint. Okay, I'm thinking which one should I show you for this. Let's do this one. So I'm opening back our Contoso, the same one that we've been working a few minutes ago, and I'm going to simply go to Insert Ribbon, and notice that right in the middle of that ribbon, there is the Insert Power View button. And when you hit it, you are doing, again, everything locally on this laptop or on your tablet. Yes, it works on tablets. And by the way, if you are buying Surface RT right now, let me tell you that this will not work on Surface RT. You need the Surface Pro. I know. You'll buy another one. You're a Microsoftie. Remember, I don't work for Microsoft, so I can say things like that. If they said that, somebody would say they are being flippant. Anyway, Surface and Surface RT, or Surface Pro and Surface RT, they run two slightly different versions of Office. Surface RT runs Office RT. Surface Pro runs Office Pro. PowerView, PowerPivot, and all of the goodness I'm showing you is in the full version of Office. Unfortunately, not in Office RT. But that doesn't stop you from simply connecting to your SharePoint server and using your fingers doing the building of the PowerView through SharePoint. So actually, having SharePoint over there removes, in a way, the necessity for having Office installed locally. The choice is yours, and I'm sure you will end up choosing differently for different scenarios. All right. So I've got my canvas, that's what it's called officially, the canvas, and over here I've got exactly the same tables that you saw me working with a few minutes ago in Power Pivot window. The Power Pivot window stores the data model, and that data model is available not just to the pivot tables and pivot charts, but also to PowerView. And the beauty of it is its simplicity. It's just tables with columns. No facts, no dimensions, nothing that requires learning. We understand tabular data very intuitively. From early days of our lives, we are exposed to tabular data. Multidimensional modeling is great and is very powerful, but for every one person who understands multidimensional modeling, there is at least 1,000 those who don't and who prefer tabular modeling. That's why this whole tabular approach has been so important to Microsoft Office, to Microsoft SQL Server, and also to SharePoint. So what I'm going to show you over here, I've got a few different options. I'm going to show you maybe the relationship between returned items and the amount of discounts that we've been offering on the sales of those items, because we are worried that people are returning too many items or something like that. So the number that I'm interested will be in the sales, and I'm going to go for the discount amount. And I'm going to also show you the quantity of products returned. Let me just find it. There it is, return quantity. And I am going to, well, make it a little bit more interesting, first of all, by making it bigger. I'm going to change this view into what is known as a scatter plot. The scatter plot is the formal name of the bubble chart. I know that they could have called it bubble chart, but there's a reason they didn't, because formally that's not what they are called. And also, not every scatter plot has to be a bubble chart, because if you don't have an additional field to drive the size of the bubble, all bubbles end up being the same size, and they actually look like donuts. So we couldn't call it the donut chart. Scatter plot is the official name. So I turn it into a scatter plot, and at this stage, it's not going to be probably the most exciting scatter plot, first of all, because it looks like a donut, and secondly, because it has just one blob right in the middle. And the reason for that is because I haven't added yet any other information that would help me break this information down further. I need to, so to speak, slice it somehow, categorize it somehow by other things. And to do all of that, you simply drop fields over here in this section right here, which will decide how this visualization works. So all of the different visualizations that PowerView supports, they all work the same way. On the canvas, you see what you are creating here. You add fields from here, and those fields come from the model, which could be just tables in Excel or a model which is built using Power Pivot in Excel. Okay, so I'm going to start adding some product category information. I'll grab my product category name. Let me just find those. Product category name is a good one, and I'll use it to add some details to the display. Actually, no, I'm not going to use it for details because, as you see, I don't have enough blobs. I'm going to use the product category name for color. This is one of the best uses of the color field. Color field is great at displaying categories because people know that things of the same color have to be somehow grouped. There are many wonderful and not so wonderful uses of the color, so think twice before you use it, especially because it's culturally different too. In some cultures, red is not the best color. In some cultures, red is the best color you could have, so you can have very opposing reactions to your dashboards, as I've learned in practice myself. Okay, it's still not a bubble chart. It's still a donut chart, sorry, it's a scatter plot. So how can I make it into a bubble chart? Well, I have to drive the size of the bubble with something. So I need to drop something onto the size field. And I think it would be nice if the bubble was bigger if we were selling a lot of a given product. So I'm going to drop sales quantity onto that. Where is my sales quantity? And almost instantly, the boring donut chart becomes an exciting bubble chart. So now that we almost got there, we want to animate it. And to animate it, you just have one last thing to do. You need to drop something over here onto the play axis. Play axis is typically used for timelines, but you don't have to use it just for timelines. You could animate data by whatever else you want. In my case, I'm going to drop maybe quarterly dates. Let me see if I've got some calendar quarters. Ah, there they are. It takes just a little moment to crunch the data quarter by quarter basis, and there you go. You can start playing with it, and you can start seeing how things have changed over the time, except it's not that exciting yet because I'm just looking at categories here. So let's add a little bit more information to this by breaking this chart into further bubbles by adding more details to it. And the details will be the different products that Contoso makes. So let me find the product table. I thought I had it. Ah, there it is, the product table. And from the product table, I will simply reach for the name of the product. Where's my name? Have I missed it again? Oh, I'm sorry. Let's do it slowly. Yes, thank you very much. Do you know why it's so difficult? Because the image, even though it might look small to you, is actually a very small resolution so that you can see it better. So everything jumps on the screen very fast. If you do it on your own screen, where you've got like millions of pixels by thousands of pixels, you will not have this issue. It's particularly difficult in this situation. Too many data points. Okay. When it tells you usefully that you've got too many data points, which is exactly what is happening right now, well, it could be an exciting thing to look at, but it's not very informative because there is way too much data. So rather than, sorry, you've been helping me so well find the product name, we need to find something different, something that is not as detailed as that. And of course, the thing in the middle is the product subcategory. So now you'll have to help me once again nail down the product subcategory. Ah, there it is. And how about product subcategory name? I'm getting better at that. And that's nice. Just enough information, and Power View is not complaining that we are trying to show the user too much, which is always useful. And you can already see how the data has been changing over the time. And I guess if you were the big boss of the company, you would be asking, why are we having so many returns of laptops and why are we discounting them so much? Basically, the reason laptops are here is because we are offering mighty discounts and because we are having big returns. We want all products to be here. Anything that is not over there means that we are doing something slightly wrong with the sales. Like, look, whatever was happening with camcorders around 2007, massive discounts, massive returns, but that problem has been clearly solved by this company, and at this point, they are simply fighting the issue of I guess, the laptops. Anyway, so there you go. That wasn't difficult. We've created a power view from scratch. And what we are going to do with it now is we are going to save it, because I might come back to that in a few minutes, or maybe not. And I just want to, not so slowly this time, show you that you could have done almost exactly the same thing, but working from SharePoint. And this is something most people don't realize. But when you upload anything that has a tabular model of data in it, in fact, any model of data, because you can use a technology from SQL Server called the BI Semantic Model Connection File, or BISM file, BISM lets you access, through this interface, any type of data that can be sitting on the back end. That data could be multidimensional. That data could be coming from Oracle. That data can be coming from any database on this planet that exists. I'm fairly certain of that. That data could be coming from a data feed, from Azure Data Market, and so on, through the magic of BISM. But I'm not going to have time to explain BISM to you, but if you're interested in BISM, that's one video that we have on the website that you can watch at your pleasure, fast forward and rewind. However, no matter how you get the data to the Power Pivot Gallery, you get this button here in the middle. You see this button in the middle? This button, which says Create PowerView Report, lets you create a PowerView report using SharePoint, not using Excel this time, from whatever data is in that workbook. So look, I'm in the browser now. I'm not using Excel. And it looks exactly the same as before. So I'm not going to do the steps of the demo again, of course, because that would be rather boring. My point is that the user experience that you get through SharePoint and through Excel is exactly the same, but it is a massively different scenario in terms of how you would apply it in your company. This scenario is the scenario where that 1 in 50 creates some cool power pivot with calculations, margins, and whatever else, uploads it to SharePoint, and everybody else says, wow, I can visualize it using PowerView now, but they probably don't have the skills to add calculations and so on, so they defer to the Power Pivot user in your company. All right? I hope you found that bit attractive. We're about past the halfway point in my demos. What is coming next? Next is something for the big boys and the big girls, enterprise level of dashboarding. Dashboards can be built in many different ways. Performance Point Services is a component of SharePoint Server that Microsoft have invested into in this release, and they have improved it. They've added a good few new functions. Notably, they have added new ability to do searches where you can type in a few things and find whatever you are searching for example, in a filter box. They've added new modes of security, which will make IT professionals happy because it's now easier to scale this. And above all, they made it work on mobile devices, and they also made it work with BISM files and with BISM data. So let me show you a couple of examples of Performance Point Services dashboards. So to do that, I'm just going to switch over to my demo computer, and I'm just connecting to a few dashboards that I have built for you a little earlier. I was actually building them this morning, so let me first of all show you what the finished dashboard looks like, and then I will show you a couple of bits of it, how you could be building it using Performance Point Services Dashboard Designer. It's a bit of a mouthful to say it, Performance Point Services Dashboard Designer, and it is different from the SharePoint Dashboard Designer. So don't confuse the SharePoint Dashboard Designer with the Performance Point Services in SharePoint Dashboard Designer. Those are two different dashboard designers. So what have you got over here is a Performance Point Services dashboard, which consists of a scorecard, and this scorecard, as you see, has KPIs. I can click on a KPI, and this useful KPI details viewer appears at the bottom and explains to me why this particular KPI had that value or other. Whilst here, I have a filter, and using this filter, for example, I can stop looking at Asian numbers, and using this new search in a filter feature, I can find United States. You simply type, it finds for you what you are looking for, hit the checkbox, and if you use the Apply Filters button, which is another new feature, you have to hit the Apply button, And, well, you've got the dashboard. You've got the dashboard with the updated KPIs, in this case for the United States region. Okay, so how does one actually build these things? If you want to work with the components from which this type of a dashboard is designed, there are several ways how you can get to that. Let me show you where they are all hiding. In the site content of a SharePoint website, there is a library called Performance Point Content. And this is not supposed to be exposed to your end users. Those are the building blocks for Performance Point services from which this and other dashboards have been built. And if you want to work on any of those, let me find the one I've been showing you a minute ago. Over here on the Performance Point ribbon, you have the access to the dashboard designer, or you can simply click on the item and the dashboard designer should launch. Sorry. That is my mistake, of course. You have to click on the three dots and you select the Edit in Dashboard Designer option. Just clicking on it gives you the traditional SharePoint edit, which only edits the properties of the item rather than the item itself. The Dashboard Designer, which is currently starting, is known as a click-once application. So it first downloads itself from the server and installs itself locally on your machine. You can delete it later if you don't want it. It will reinstall itself if it's necessary. Maybe it has a slightly more classic look to the application than the rest of SharePoint, but it does its job very well. Over here, you build connections to the backend databases. In my case, I have made a connection to, sorry, that's not actually mine. In my case, I have made a connection to a cube running in SQL Server Analysis Services, whilst over here is the scorecard. And let me show you what else we could be looking at. And here you can find the KPIs and the filters and the KPI details viewers, all of the items from which that previous dashboard was constructed. So for example, if the returns KPI, this one, you decide is incorrectly designed, and for example, my current definition of it specifies that the worst possible value for this KPI is the value of 2,000, and you want to be a little bit stricter and make things red already when they are hitting the level of 1,000 returned items in this company, you simply edit the KPI over here, at which point you simply need to redeploy the dashboard back to the SharePoint server. So all I need to do is find my returns dashboard, which is over here, right-click on it, and select this option, Deploy to SharePoint. And once I hit that, without asking any further questions, if you've done it already once, it will be deployed to the same place where that previous dashboard was. On the other side, if you are doing the first time, there is an additional step where you are going to be asked to name the destination on your SharePoint server where you would like to deploy the finished dashboard. The dashboard, after it's deployed, is just a set of web pages. And there you are. This is the new dashboard. And as you can see, many more things are now turning red than they were a little earlier because we have reduced the value of that KPI target. So this was dashboarding for enterprises, for the bigger boys and for the bigger girls. The key advantage of dashboarding with Performance Point services, I think, is in being right in between the Excel ability to build anything you want, but, well, perhaps it is not as manageable and not in one place. And on the other side, building traditional dashboards from cubes using tools such as SQL Server Reporting Services. The dashboard designer was easy to use if you know something about designing dashboards, but it's not as easy to use as Excel. That's why I feel it's right in the middle. Okay. The next demo, which is almost the penultimate demo that I will be doing, I don't know, maybe I'll squeeze three demos, is SQL Server Reporting Services. Using SQL Server Reporting Services, I'm going to design for you the type of a report that you could easily deploy and run, for example, 50,000 times in the morning in your organization, and it wouldn't even blink an eye. Reporting Services is a machine that is able to crunch large numbers of reports at the same time and does it because it has ability to cache them, has ability to pre-cache the data as well as finished reports, and it supports a lot of other interesting functions, like, for example, subscription to data. You can right-click on any part of a report and say, oh, if this part of a pie chart changes, notify me that it has changed. So rather than talk about it, let me give you a very quick demo of the report builder. So this time, I'm going to launch my report builder from the menu. This cannot be done over the website. You have to actually do it using this tool. It's connecting, as you see, to my SharePoint site, and I'm going to quickly build you a geospatial report using a map of the United States. You can use any map of any country you want as long as you have the necessary shape file for that, and those are not difficult to get. But in my case, I will use the pre-built map of the United States. Let me just zoom in on it a little bit to make it a little bit clearer on the screen. Optionally, you can add a Bing map data layer to it. Either you can add a road map or you could add the hybrid map. And yes, it is fully detailed. So if you wanted to do just the map, I don't know, for Kansas, you certainly could do it. But I'm not going to stress my internet connection too much. As you can see, it's already a little bit jumpy. So we'll just look at United States at a glance. OK, what's next? Next, I decide that I want to create a bubble map. Next, I need to connect to some data. So to do that, I am going to add a new data set by building it. I want to add a new data set by building a new data set. I thought I had one. I don't. Well, it doesn't matter. I'll build one for you. It's quite easy. So in this case, I will connect to my SQL Server Analysis Services database, which is basically a cube. And we are Contozo Communications. We will be building this report to find the number of new customers, so customers that we have in each state of the United States. This is on my local server, so I simply connect to the necessary cube. I select that connection, click OK, and the data connection is made. Now it's time for me to extract some data for the report from that data source. And as I already told you, I want to display the number of customers Contozo has, so subscriber count is the right measure to use. Whilst, because this is a geospatial report, I also want to display their location. And to do that, you can use different things, but I'm going to use the shortened, abbreviated name of the state that is so frequently used, of course, in the United States. Good, I've got my data. Time to connect the data which is in the map to the data that is in the data set. And the connection will be the United States Postal Service shortened name of the state. And of course, that is the state short that we have extracted a few seconds ago from the data set. The connections are made. Now I need to simply finish the report, maybe give it some name. I'll call it subscriber count. And I can preview this report by running it in the Dashboard Designer. At this point, the necessary connections are made through reporting services, and you can see that we've got actually not so many subscribers in Nevada, more in Texas and in California. But once you've built a report, you probably want to save it somewhere to the server. So let me find a place where I can save it sensibly. You know what? I'll help myself, and what I'll do is I'll just go to the report gallery and I'll copy and paste that path so that I don't have to search for it. So I'm just going to copy this path to SharePoint Power Pivot Gallery back to the Dashboard Designer, and I'm going to save it over there as my path, and we'll call it subscriber count. Save. At this point, Dashboard Designer is saving a very small file, RDL file, Report Definition Language file, to SharePoint. I can close the Dashboard Designer. Obviously, I need to refresh the Power Pivot Gallery, and hopefully, I will be able to see it down there. Let's find our subscriber count. There you go. That's our subscribed account. I can click on the report, and as soon as you click on the report, it is rendered now through SharePoint Server in whatever browser you want. So there you are, building reports using Report Builder, enterprise-level reports, is also not that difficult at all. But I've shown you a map, which means I got the cat out of the bag. You have seen a simple map, and now I want to show you that you can build maps which are even easier to create and even more attractive to use using Power View. One of the newest features in Power View for Excel 2013 and SharePoint is geospatial mapping. So rather than talk about it, let me show you how it works. So to do that, we are switching back, and we are going to build the map for, let's do it maybe in Excel. So I'm going to open a Power Pivot that I have created a little earlier. This Power Pivot is based on the AdventureWorks data set. Nothing exciting in it. Rather than that, I want to quickly add a new Power View. And the only purpose of this Power View will be to show sales amounts on an interactive, as long as our internet connection works, map of the world. But I'm going to give you something in it which is kind of very, very cool. You'll see in a minute. All right. What's the data? The data, as you already know, is the sales amount. So all I do is, from the data model, I find the sales amount, I select it, and a single number should appear on the screen. I want to now slice this data by geographies. So to do that, I am going to select my cities. And you could just break the data down by a city, or by a country, or by a state, but I have built a tiny little, rather useful, hierarchy of those three. You can do that in Excel, you can do that in Power Pivot. Hierarchies can be added in Power Pivot very easily. It takes literally a couple of minutes in the Power Pivot window. So what I've done is I've put together the country with a state and a city into one hierarchy, and I have a reason why I'm doing this. So let me just grab that hierarchy. Oh, sorry. Let me just convert it first into a map. Let me make it a little bit bigger. So the map is not going to be very exciting until I actually provide any geospatial information to it. And now, in this field called locations, this is where I'm going to drop this hierarchy. So I take the hierarchy and I put it down over here. And there you go. We've got a geospatial map, which is fully interactive. As long as my internet connection, of course, works and Bigwin responds, you can go as detailed as you wish. I'm not going to push my luck, though, here, because my mouse is already working the other way around. I'm pushing it, and it's still going out, so it's kind of like I'm driving a boat. I don't know how it is. I only read about it. I don't have a boat, but apparently you kind of tell it to go left, and it keeps going right for a few minutes before it goes left. Well, that's how it feels right now because of our internet connection. All righty. Well, this is nice. This is exciting. But I'm going to make it even more exciting by adding additional data points to this map so that you are not going to be looking just at somewhat boring blue bubbles. What I want to do is I want to make the bubbles bigger when the sales quantities were larger. Well, that's what's done. They are already driven by the sales quantity. So I've already done that. Sorry, I've already got the sizes there. What I want to do is I want to add another piece of data. I want to compare sales to females against sales to males in this company. So how about we take the customer's gender, which is here, and we drop that on color. Actually, no, we'll drop it. Yeah, let's do it on color. Hello. Gender to color. Look what happened. Isn't that cool? Aww. How cute. So you get a map of little pie charts. And as you move the mouse, notice that it's giving you a preview of what's there. Just in case you're wondering, females are reddish, males are orange, and the blue are when we don't know the data. And if you think this is good, then wait for what I'm going to do now. Because now I'm going to actually click on one of those. And when you click on one of those, it filters the rest of the report with whatever was clicked on, which you will see in a minute when we have a few more things on the screen. But what happens if you double click on a point? Oh, it actually divides that. Thank you, thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you, Microsoft. It divides that into whatever is the next level of my hierarchy. That's why I built this hierarchy. This means that if I didn't have hierarchy, you would have like a ton of bubbles showing cities, which is not great. At first, it is showing us countries. Now it's showing us states or provinces. And I suppose if I double-click California, I should be able to see individual cities in California. Oh, gosh, I didn't want that many of them because of the internet connectivity. But as you guess, as you drill into this further with your mouse, eventually you'll get to the street level and you'll be able, you'll be able to see what the sales were over there. All righty, well, I know that you've enjoyed it because you clapped on that, but I still have one more last demo to show you. So to do that, I'm going to switch back for the final demo slide, in which I want to really put all of this together. Because what you have seen so far is different ways to build the same things. We've built reports, we've built dashboards, we've built previews of data, power views, and so on. What could it all look like if you put it together? Well, it will look like a modern dashboard, except one that is fully interactive. And one of the best ways to build such modern interactive dashboards is by using Office, SharePoint, and SQL Server together. And to do that, I will switch back to the machine that you've already seen me use, and I'll just show you the finished goods, the finished dashboard that consists of all of those bits of information together. Let me just scroll the page up. And there it is. Aww. So what you've got here is the map that we've been building. You've got visualizations from PowerView. And without having to do any extra work, all of those things interconnect automatically. So for example, if we look at the map of the United States, I'm almost afraid to zoom in because of how long it takes. So please excuse me, but I will not zoom in fully over there. And you end up selecting, for example, United States. Notice that everything refreshes. And in addition to that, look what happens to the pie chart. Oh. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. So do you actually know what that pie chart is called, that very final pie chart? This is a pie chart of maybe what does it actually mean is what matters to me. What you are seeing over here is that United States as a proportion of the rest of the world. The grayed out is the grand total, and the thing that is currently highlighted is whatever is the rest of the context that is showing. So you're looking at basically the contribution of United States to the rest of the world. I think it's a fantastic visualization, and you have to do zero work to connect the map to this at the bottom. If I had 3 hours for this session, I would show you that. You just have to trust me or visit the website and watch the video. Okay. I hope I have managed to show you through this plethora of sessions and presentation material that you've been so kind to sit through that BI can be very powerful when it's simple. What makes it great for the users is also that it is visually attractive. And at last, with Office 2013, SharePoint 2013, and SQL Server behind the scenes, I think Microsoft have managed to deliver the combination that gives us those three components of what makes great BI. I hope that it will make your users more productive, I won't say popular also, because people who have information tend to become more popular in the organization. But above all, I hope it will also put a smile on your faces and make your daily jobs a little easier. And remember, if you want to stay in touch with me or if you want to follow me, etc., I've got the details over there, including those coupon codes for our website. Oh, please do not forget to fill in the evaluation forms, if you would be so kind. I know it takes a few minutes, but you can win a prize. And in addition, I get useful feedback that helps me do my job better. You've been a fantastic audience.